We're now going to have a couple of readings and then the main message. These readings are paraphrases, slight reinterpretations of the gospel accounts. The first one is brought to us by Nadia, and the second one will be read by Laura, and then we'll have Carissa with the main message.
The stone is rolled away. So a retelling of Mark 16:1-8. The light of a new week dawns. A group of women approach a tomb. They are heartbroken. Their teacher, leader and friend, Jesus, is dead. They had travelled with him, learned from him, supported him and cared for him. They had loved him dearly, and he had treasured them. He had seen them, valued them, and allowed them to learn from him alongside the men. What wonders and miracles they had seen while traveling with Jesus. What mercy and compassion they had witnessed. And what cruelty their teacher had endured in the end for spreading his message of love. The women have brought spices to anoint and honour Jesus' body, the final act of love for the man they had hoped might be the Messiah. Jesus was laid to rest in the tomb of a rich man. A huge stone had been rolled across the entrance to seal it. As the women draw near to the tomb, they ask each other, "How will we move the stone?" Exhausted from grief, but determined to carry out their plan, the women carry on. But when they arrive at the tomb, the stone has been rolled away. Wide-eyed, they look at each other, take a deep breath, and step inside. To see a young man dressed in white sitting there calmly, the women gasp, alarmed. "Who is this? And where is the body of Jesus?" "Don't be alarmed," says the young man sitting in the tomb. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was nailed to the cross. But he has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" With this, the strange young man gestures at the space where the body should be. Empty. "But go now," says the young man. "Take this message to his disciples and Peter. Tell them Jesus is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." The women back slowly out of the tomb and then run to find the disciples and tell them the impossible, incredible, wonderful news. He is risen. Jesus is risen. Could it really be true?
Mary and the Gardener from John 20:11-18. Outside the tomb, Mary Magdalene is leaning against a tree, crying her eyes out. Someone must have taken Jesus' body. Who would do such a thing? When will the cruelty and humiliation end? Drying her eyes fiercely, she walks over to the tomb, bends down to look inside, and sees two angels sitting there dressed in white. One is sitting at the head and the other at the foot of where Jesus' body should be laying. Angels? Mary rubs her eyes again, just to make sure, but then they speak. "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," replies Mary, "and I don't know where they put him." Struggling to comprehend what she has seen, Mary turns away and notices a man she doesn't recognize standing behind her. It must be the gardener. Maybe this gardener saw something, or maybe he took Jesus' body, thinks Mary. Boldly she says, "Sir, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." In a tender, familiar voice, the man says, "Mary." That voice, it speaks right to her heart. Mary looks at the man again, really looks, and she knows that now he just isn't the gardener. "Rabboni, teacher," she gasps and laughs and rushes to hug him. Jesus is not in the tomb because he is standing right in front of her. Jesus smiles and takes her hands. "Dear Mary, don't cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary doesn't want to leave him. She has found him. Jesus has escaped the tomb, and he is walking and talking and doing impossible things. Reluctantly, she leaves him there in the garden, and she rushes to tell the disciples what she has seen. Many of Jesus' words and conversations start coming back to her. It has been 3 days, and the Messiah has risen. He has risen indeed.
Good morning, everyone. So nice to see you in person this year. And what a great day to be all together as well. Because this is the day when Christians all over the world gather together to say those words, "He is risen. Jesus is risen." For even thousands of years later, from the story that we've just heard told so beautifully by Nadia and Laura, those words mean everything. They mean joy, they mean new life, they mean love, and they mean hope. A hope so audacious and so big that it could change everything about your life. So today, we continue to celebrate Jesus' resurrection because it's the centre of the good news of our faith, isn't it? Our hearts are full of joy and wonder. So we sing these songs together. It was just joyful, wasn't it, to think about the words of these songs. Full of joy and wonder, just like Jesus' friends when they first heard this good news. And maybe our minds are also full of questions, just like Jesus' friends when they first heard the baffling good news. Today we celebrate this event of Jesus' resurrection and we acknowledge the mystery of it as well. And most of all, we give thanks for what it means. So what does it mean? Well, that's a big question. To answer that, maybe we can go back a little bit in time to the times when Jesus told his disciples that the Son of Man would be mocked and killed and that he would rise again 3 days later. Or maybe we need to go a little bit further back to an angel on a hill appearing to a bunch of shepherds saying, "Do not be afraid, for I bring great news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today a saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Or maybe we need to go 9 months earlier before that, when another angel told a young woman, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be called Son of the Most High." Or maybe we go even further back to those prophets of ancient Israel who told of a God who loved his people so much that he would send a Messiah to save them and that this king would bear their sins and bring them hope and new life and a new kingdom. Or maybe we need to scrap the concept of time entirely. Step outside of that. Have you had your coffee yet? And grapple with the idea that God's plan all along was to adopt all of humanity into his family for all of eternity. I think Paul does a pretty good job of explaining this in the Bible. We can read his words in Ephesians 1, verse 4. This is how Paul tries to explain this. "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given to us in the one he loves." In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished on us. Yeah, maybe this is where we start to understand what the resurrection means. Not that we can fully grasp it, it is a bit of a mystery, but maybe this is where we start with the extravagant love of the Father, Son, and Spirit, a holy Trinity, a holy family, longing to adopt us. Have you ever felt love like that? Have you caught glimpses of that kind of love in your dearest relationships? Or is it something that you have longed for your whole life? Well, Resurrection Sunday promises us that this love is here for you. This love is here for you. And in fact, this love has a name, Jesus. And through Jesus' mission here on earth that we saw beautifully summarized in the video a little earlier, Jesus did all that was needed to adopt us into this family, to set this plan into action. He took all of the pain and the evil and frustration and sin and fear and violence and injustice, every single thing in this world that might be a barrier to our adoption into a holy family. He took all that within himself and it died on the cross with him. And just as he took the darkness into the grave for us, so he brought the light out of it for us. Because when God raised Jesus to life, he defeated death. The most certain and sure terrible thing in humanity is no longer a certainty. There's something more. The story is bigger. There's a sequel. And as in these stories of the resurrection that we listen to this morning, that we try to reimagine, as with these stories, this truth can move us from despair and grief into joy and excitement. Again, Paul was a man who saw the light, quite literally. That's a pretty good story if you want to read that one next. And he caught hold of this hope. He caught hold of this bigger story. So I'm going to read a little more from Ephesians further on in chapter 1, verse 17, as Paul, again, puts words to what is going on here and some of the things that we contemplate today as we think about the resurrection. So Paul writes, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you this spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for those who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." This is good news. There's not many other words you can use to describe it. This is good news for everyone. Because, of course, that's the even better thing about this story is that Jesus' death and resurrection and the new life and the promise that they bring were not just for a special few people, they're for everyone, for all of humanity. And it was God's plan from the very beginning to scoop up all of his creation to be part of his family. And there's nothing in this world, nothing in your life, no mistake, no addiction, no mess, no shame, nothing that hasn't already gone to the grave with Jesus. And there's no person on earth who's not invited into the light of this new day, this new life, and an eternity of love with our Creator and Saviour. This is good news. This is the best news. And so we say, he is risen. He is risen indeed.